So we welcome the noise and the sound of the kids. And I want to ask you, if you ever feel inspired by God to do something for the church, have you ever felt to do something different for the church? That you feel that this is not something that is your own initiative, but it's something that God is placing in your heart. And I want you to come with me to a portion of the Bible. We will read it together, and we will wrestle with that. And then later, I have some questions that I want you to help me to answer. So please open your Bibles, and let's go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. We don't use a lot of Nehemiah, but Nehemiah is an interesting little book in the Old Testament. And I want you to come with me to Nehemiah, chapter 1. Give me a second. I'm having issues finding Nehemiah after Ezra here. And finally, I'm getting to chapter number 1. And I would like you to help me to do some reading here because we are reading chapter 1. It's only 10 verses and we can do it together if you want to. This is what the Bible says. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning from the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. It's interesting to know what happened to his people, right? And continue saying this. And they say to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and his gates are burned with fire. So it was when I hear these words that I sat down and I wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we had sinned against you. Both my father's house and I had sinned. We had acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments, and do then, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather you from there and bring you then to a place which I had chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have remembered your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to prosper, to fear your name and to prosper this day. I pray and I grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So you discover in the story several elements, right? The first thing that happened in the story is that Nehemiah had a conversation with some people who was coming from Jerusalem. Remember, this is close to 70 years after Jerusalem was completely destroyed. So this is not near the destruction. This is like almost a century since that event happened. So when he talked to the people give them a report. The first thing that they mentioned is that they were under a lot of distress, right? And the reason that they were under a lot of distress is because they have a lot of enemies. The Israelites now in Jerusalem, they were a minority in their own nation. They were surrounded by enemies, and many other people was claiming their land, and they were being attacked in many ways. Not only they were under a lot of distress and depressed, but they were really sad because two things happened to the city. The walls of the city were completely destroyed, and the gates of the city will burn, completely burn. So nobody in 70 years had the initiative to go back there and start rebuilding the walls and fixing the doors. So you found here a man who discovered it's something wrong with the church, but nobody does anything. So you see the problem, you see the situation there, and the only thing that you do is just look around, you get worried, you get concerned, but there's no action. The other day I was having a conversation when one of the ladies from Maranatha that they were helping us here at the church, and I mentioned I'm worried about something. And she replied to me, don't waste your time with worries. And I just keep quiet, right? Listening to what she said. Don't waste your time with worries, because with worries you don't accomplish anything. And it's true, right? Have you noticed that in occasion in life we get a problem, a challenging situation, something that is happening to you, and you start getting stressed out and worrying about this? You don't even sleep. In occasions we don't even eat, and you are so stressed out. And tell me, what do you accomplish with that? Is your problem going away? No. Is anything getting better in your life? No. The only thing that you accomplish is getting yourself sick, even to the point that that can even kill you, right? So worries don't solve anything. And now that we are thinking about Jerusalem and how the walls are burned, I want to tell you that in Aiken, we are in the process of building a new church. Amen. And I would like to encourage you to go and visit the church anytime that you want to. The people who is doing the plumbing, they finish. The people who is doing the heating, they will be finished next week. So in the next 2 weeks, a lot of things will be accomplished. Among the electricity, the mechanical parts, and the water, that will be finished. In the next 4 weeks, we expect to have the church insulated with walls and painted inside. So the church is moving really well along the things. And somebody called me from this church the other day. And this person was saying, Pastor, what good we have in to build a new church if our church dies? It is possible that when we finish the church, we don't have anyone to bring to the new church, because there's no one left here in Aiken. And I replied to this person, I understand that you are concerned and you are worried, and I'm too. But I feel that God has been working in Aiken. Amen. Among you. And it made me sad that in occasions we don't see the blessings of God working among us. Let me refresh your memory to help you remember how many amazing things God has been working among you. For how many years this church has tried to build a place? Close to 20, right? And we get to a point this year, I remember a few months ago, that some of you too also mentioned to me, Pastor, this is not happening. This won't happen ever. And look at what we have right now so far, when the God's grace and power. So what I want you to remember is that when we get a vision from God, something that He's inspiring us to do, we can take two actions, right? One is go and allow God to use us and work in that. Or two, say, no, I don't want to take part of that, and move away. And from the distance, start criticizing and giving opinions and doing things like that. So Jeremiah discovered that the city is burned, the gates are destroyed, there's no protection for the inhabitants of the city. So he started doing two things, right? He started praying, seriously praying, and he started fasting. And I always wonder about fasting. You know, what is the purpose of fasting? And if you had the struggles with weight like me, you will think, well, it's a double benefit if you fast, right? You lose weight, and then you have more time to think about God. But fasting is a spiritual exercise. When you are fasting, it's not mean to suppress your hunger. It's to remind you that despite being hungry, you can think about God. And the pain and the suffering and the struggles that come when hungry, when hungered, I'm sorry, should help us to remember that our lives is sustained by God. The Bible tells us that men shouldn't live only in bread, right? Who say that? Yeah, I think it was Moses, and Jesus quoted again in the New Testament. When Satan was questioning him, you know, made these rocks bread, men should live only in bread, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? So it's a spiritual part of you that you need to keep alive. In our story today, after he fasts and prays for several days, this man is going through a very long and agonizing process of consolidating a vision, something that God is inspiring to do. What do you think God is inspiring him to do? Go back to Jerusalem, number one. Number two, help with the rebuilding of the walls and help fixing the doors. Now, if you were Nehemiah, you would probably start thinking, okay, I'm willing to do this. The first thing that I need to do is how much money I have in my pocket, right? Because at that time, materials cost, and today, things cost. And then you start checking your pockets, and only crumbles and dust in there. There's not a lot of money in there. So you will come back to God and say, God, I understand what you want me to do, but we don't have money. Have you heard that expression before here in Aiken? Amen. God, we want to build a church, but we don't have the money. And in reality, we don't. It's not lying to you. You know, we don't have the money. But you know, it's interesting how God's working occasions, right? When people start moving by faith to doing what he expects you to do, I can tell you, based on what the scriptures say, that he will provide the means to do things. Now, I have to tell you that we, in occasion, have this idealistic view of doing the will of God. You have this vision from God. You know what you need to do. You also realize that you don't have the resources, but you want to do it anyway. And you start taking the first steps toward that that God is inspiring you to do. And then you realize that the people that surround you maybe is not supporting you. That they start saying things to discourage you. That happened to you? And it happened to all of us. You have like a new idea for a company and you go and talk to your wife, I want to do this. And she will say, nope, that's a bad idea. Just forget it. Just continue doing it. How did that make you feel? Hey. A little discouraged, right? Because you expect the other people to see and understand what God is putting in your heart. It doesn't work that way. So what I'm trying to say today is this. God can inspire you to do great things wherever you are right now here in Aiken. Amen. And he inspired us all to do different things, right? Different ministries, different goals. You realize that to accomplish these things, we need the resources, and in occasions, we don't have the resources to do these things. So you start struggling and thinking, how I can get the resources to accomplish these things. Number three, then you realize that not everybody will support you. In fact, some of the people that is close to you maybe will discourage you. And I will tell you today that one of the worst things that can happen to any dream, I don't care if that's something that you want or it's something that God is inspiring in your heart. What I'm saying is that one of the worst things that can happen to your dream is discouragement. How you talk to somebody that is a negative person? How that make you feel? It's tough. And in occasions, we tend to be negative, right? In occasions, we only focus on the bad things. Let me read a quote here from a book that I enjoy reading. And I think it's a very wise quote. And please pay attention to this. It is not wise to gather together all the unpleasant recollections of the past life, his iniquities and disappointments, to talk over them and mourning over until you are overwhelmed with discouragement. A discouraged soul is filled with darkness, shutting out the light of God from his own soul and casting a shadow upon the pathway of others. So what happens when you get discouraged? It happens two things, right? Two things will happen in your heart. Not only you will be in darkness, but the people that surround you, the loved ones, your friends, they will get affected to that too. And let me go beyond that. I will tell you that a lot of people is not in this church today for things that we did or we said in the past. You see, when you are discouraged, it's possible that you express these feelings, and it's possible with the grace of God that you can recover from these things, right? Because that happened to all of us. You get discouraged, you start saying nonsense, and then later you repent and you continue on your path. But what about the little ones? What about the people that is listening to you, the ones that they are growing in faith? You see, in the church, we had people in different stages. Some people here had a strong faith because of many years of walking with God, but others can have like a little faith, right? So you start throwing discouragement everywhere. Then later you recover. You don't know the consequences of your actions and how they will affect the lives of someone else in here, right? So in that sense, we are responsible not only for ourselves, but also for our children, our family members. You know, people that maybe don't have any connection with this church. So please, in the name of God, be careful in how you use your words when you are talking about spiritual things. So Nehemiah is confronted with these feelings, and he goes in the presence of God, and he continues praying to the point that he is praying and he wants to talk to the king, right? Because he worked according to the Bible. What was his profession? A cupbearer. What is a cupbearer? It was the person, you are correct. It's the person who was hired to drink the wine before the king drank the wine. Why do you think they do that? Very good. Because the kings were afraid that somebody will poison you, so you pay somebody few extra dollars, so, and drink the wine, and you wait there a few seconds and see if it, no reaction. Let me drink my wine now, right? So how important do you think is that job? It is important, but this is not like an essential job to a king. Think about it. Right! They can replace you anytime you die. You know how many cupbearers were before Nehemiah? Who knows? Every single time that one gets poisoned, then bring the next one, you know. And that's it. It's no security employment. It's no 401k, nothing, you know. You die and thank you for your services and move on, right? So some people think Nehemiah was a very important person in the king, in the present. No, he wasn't an important guy. He was not rich. He didn't have a lot of money. What he had is an amazing faith. A faith that should inspire you and should inspire me to do great things for God, right? So Nehemiah's faith is so great that he started praying and he is working in front of the king and he's saying, Lord, now that I'm here in front of the king, please impress this man's mind. So when I open my mouth, whatever things that I'm planning to say to him, he will say yes to me. Now the king will say no, maybe, or can say yes, whatever, I don't know. You need to find out in chapter 2 and 3, but if you had read the book, you discover that the king was good to Nehemiah and helping him and getting the resources and getting the ways to finally accomplishing the construction of the Jerusalem. But I have to tell you one more thing that I think is important. You get the vision from God, right? God is giving you the dream, the plan. You start praying and fasting, and now God is opening the doors. So you start moving in the right direction to accomplishing the things that you are want to do for God. But along the way, you discover in the daily routine, we all have daily routine, right? This mundane experience, you discover that some days are good and other days are what? And really bad. So your experience is not always going up, up, up. In occasions, you are going up and then you have a terrible go down. Very good. So when you are going down in your experience and trying to serve God and accomplish this thing for God, you need to remember that the one who put the vision in your heart is whom? It's God. So if God is inspiring this thing to do, you need to keep this vision protected. It's like a little candle that we have here, right? We need to protect it from the wind and from the other things, because if we don't protect it, what will happen? We'll get extinguished. It will go out. It will die. So that happened with any dream. That happened with any aspiration that the church had. So church members in Aiken, I have a challenge for you today. This is my challenge for you. We want to accomplish something new here in Aiken for many, many years. We realize that we are not the biggest church in Aiken. Are we in agreement on that? Other bigger churches than us. We are not the richer people in town, right? We are other churches that have more resources than us. We don't have the human power to do a lot of things like other churches do, right? We are a small group. When the majority of you are seniors, the average age in this church is 60, and you will probably think, God, this is very difficult to accomplish. And you are correct. But you need to remember that you are dealing with God, the God who do impossible things. Amen. And this is not something that it comes from my mind or from yours. This is something that God is putting in our heart to do because He had great dreams for Aiken. So every single time that you think about the building and the church in Aiken, I want you to be positive. When somebody comes to you, do you know how our church is dying, and we are so little, and they start throwing discouragement to you, trying to move the conversation from the negative to what? To the positive. Remember how God had answered our prayers. Remember how God has sent people to help us. Remember how God continued blessing us. Let me tell you that happened to me that was amazing. 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, I tell the board members about this. I was in Tennessee because they are having a conference of the evangelism in Tennessee. So in August, when I get the invitation for this conference, they were doing a contest for all the pastors or whoever want to go there to fill an application, send a video of your plan to the union, and they will select some people there to give them $1,000 for whatever your plan was. So I remember at the time that Anne, Sister Anne Dix, wanted to do a project with the kids at the schools here in January, which is bring book bags with supplies to the little kids and to the poor neighborhoods in the city or poor schools. We can select one or two. I don't know how many schools. So I thought, well, it would be great if the union give us a little extra money so we can apply it to this project, right? And I remember I get that email. It was like 7 p.m. I fill the application right away online. And I tell my son, grab my phone and record this video of me. And I remember I feel like a complete fool. I'm telling you. No lie. You can ask Denise that she was laughing. Because I record at least 3 or 4 little videos and none of that. And oh, man, I'm terrible in this. And finally, I select the one that it was kind of like half decent. And I send it. And I was praying, Lord, hopefully they will select our project. But I knew there is a lot of people who was going to this conference, right? So move forward now in November. I go to the conference. The last day, I was in a presentation. And I was running late to the closing of the whole thing because at the closing is when they were announcing the winners of the $1,000 for every winner. I'm not lying to you. This is what happened to me. I get late, open the 2 doors, and you know the university church is a big university. It's like 3 or 4 times the size. And the guy in the front, Pastor Roger Hernandez, is saying, Aiken SDA, Aiken SDA. And man, from the back of the church, they say, Aiken, it's me. You know, and I start running. Seriously, I start running in the middle of the church. You know, we tell the kids don't run in the church, right? But I start running because I was so excited. And I get to the front, and I was so happy. Guess what? Our little project was selected. And they are giving us $1,000. You know, I wasn't expecting that, but and it's a little thin. But the important is that the reason that I mentioned this to you is because God answered prayer. Amen. And He will open the doors and He will provide the resources for us. So, church, remember, let's emphasize in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Let's talk about the great things that He can do with us, through us, despise us, right? And remember Nehemiah, a regular guy, probably like you or me, who was willing to listen to God's vision and do whatever he can, and the Lord accomplished many things through him. So may God inspire you and use you to be a blessing in this community. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, today we want to ask you, O Lord, for our children here at Church in Aiken, for our plans and for our dreams. for the things that you have inspired us to do, O God, for you. Father, give us the encouragement, the energy, the strength to continue moving on in the right direction. We are confident that you will answer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. A blessed Sabbath for everybody today.